Luke chapter 2, please. Verse 25. We left off last week talking about Simeon. We introduced a new character on the scene of Jesus' birth, his infancy, and that's Simeon. Verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Sounds like a kind of guy that you want to have in your circle of friends. Somebody that's filled with the Holy Spirit. This is devout, just, honorable. Of course. Of course, we all strive to be that as well. Through the power of God, of course. He enables us to be like this. Simeon. Let's take a look at the word here. Consolation. He's waiting for the Messiah to come. He's actually waiting for Jesus to show up in the temple as a baby. He's waiting for Jesus to show up. This is his life purpose. They refer to the Messiah. There's many names of the Lord in reference to his purpose, his function, a description of his character, attribute. We saw the sunrise was one of them in the previous chapter, one talking about him being that morning star. Here we see the consolation of Israel. Let's take a look at that word. It's paraklesis in the Greek. You have a Greek word today or a Greek word. It means to come near. Para, to pair up with, to parallel, to come near to. So consolation, the idea there to console, to comfort, to bring refreshment, to come near. The rabbis would call the Messiah the consoler. Indeed, Jesus is the consoler who would actually send the comforter to us. It says that in John 16:7. Jesus said this to you and me. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you, it's important, for you that I go away. For if I go not away, we talked about that a little bit last week. What if Jesus never took on our sin? What if he lived here? He had a big long beard. What would happen? Here it is. The comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, speaking of the Holy Spirit. So here we see Jesus, the Messiah, presented to us as the consoler who's going to send to us the comforter. Sounds awesome, doesn't it? To come alongside. When you comfort someone, typically you do get close to them. You don't usually do it from across the room. You see Kelsey over there being sad or something, for example. She's not this morning. She's smiling. But I was going to say, hey, yo, it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. In fact, if I was way down there in jeans, Kelsey, it's going to be fine. You're going to be fine. It's going to be okay. That's not very much comfort. So you get the idea here. The Messiah, Jesus coming to this earth, be part of humanity. He's like coming alongside of humanity. Coming right alongside. And there's consolation in that. There's comfort. He's there to be part of our growth, to be our strength, to be right there with us. We need to think about this a little bit. Allow it to sink in that God is a consoler. That he's come near to us. Emmanuel, God with us. In the comforter that he sends us, his Holy Spirit. Both words begin with that para, the idea of coming alongside. I feel rested just thinking about that aspect of God, the nature of God in that way. I want to put my eyes on him and see that. Indeed, he says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you more work to do. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Yoke would be what the oxes would have as they're plowing along. And we got big Ford tractors now in John Deere, but back then it would be two oxen yoked up. It would be that thing around their neck that they're drawing that plow with. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. There's a song that we sang, and I really appreciate Gretchen in her music ministry, because she'll see a verse in a song and she'll say, where is that in the scripture? There's a song that we sang today, for freedom he has set us free. Something like that, right? And she's like, where's that in the scripture? Well, it's in Galatians. that talks about us having this liberty and standing in that liberty for which God has given us. Not going into that yoke of bondage again that we came out of. So for freedom, he's called us to remain free, to stay free, not go back into that place of bondage that we were in. A dog returns to its vomit. We tend to do that as human beings. So we need to sing about it. We need to read about it. We need to know the truth and rest upon that. That this is the character of God, that he doesn't want a yoke upon us or a heavy burden. His yoke is easy. You will find rest under your souls. That's a promise from God. You can take that to the bank. His yoke is easy. It says, Matthew 11:30, his burden is light. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, you get loaded on with more stuff and more stuff as you go, and you're expected to do more and more and more to be that good Christian. Don't see that. In the same way you received him, you walk in it. He's the one that's pulling the train. We're simply obedient to him and used by him, an instrument of him. Faith is about yielding to the power and strength of God. I am so excited about the humility of Christ. It's such a beautiful thing about God. His humility itself will just give you rest. It's like, man, you're peaced out. Thinking about the humility of Christ, even the humility of his birth in the manger, silent night, all that stuff, just that rest that comes from being in his presence. Pride is just the opposite. In fact, it makes me kind of uneasy. Someone filled with their opinions and how awesome they are and what they think about this and that and everything else. It's just like, you know, you want to exit stage left. And that's pride. It doesn't give you rest. It kind of makes you uneasy because everything you say, they're like, well, I think of this. And they quickly need to put out their opinions on big billboards. And it's pride. And it makes us uneasy. It's unrestful. Jesus Christ is just the opposite. His humility speaks volumes to us. And it gives us rest. Let's continue in the word in verse 26 and 27. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, speaking of Simeon, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents, this is Simeon again, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, Joseph and Mary, to do for him after the custom of the law, hold there. So God pointing out the Spirit in Simeon's life, we can compare his life to Zechariah in chapter 1, where Zechariah was doing everything according to his religious procedures. He was in charge of the incense that day, and he was doing everything like a robot. He had that religious zeal, but he was lacking in the Spirit. So Simeon, just the opposite, a man that was after the Spirit, looking for Jesus. He didn't need that angelic appearance as Zechariah did. He was already looking for the Lord, and he was already in the right place and time. Spirit-led, Spirit-revealed. A little interesting comparison. So, Simeon being a spiritual man, looking for the Messiah. In fact, that was what he was promised by God, that he would see before he died. Every day he would wake with that promise getting closer. Anticipation. We sang about that this morning. In fact, it's a beautiful song. I don't know if we've ever done it before. I believe in God the Father. We've never done that before. Man, it just talks about our beliefs. A very basic and very powerful song. Enjoyed singing it, but I just enjoyed also the truth in it. And the last line in that song, if you notice, and he's coming back again, I believe. So that's the anticipation that we have, just like Simeon, that we're going to see the Lord face to face someday. So there's an anticipation. We're all to be Simeons in that way, to be looking forward to that day. And it is every day that we wake up getting closer that we will see the Lord face to face. That's an exciting thing. That's a hope that the Christian maintains in their life. And it's a hope that purifies you, keeps you away from sin too. So part of our spiritual walk, walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, is the anticipation of seeing Christ, as Simeon did here, every day waking up to that reality. It's a hope that purifies. A few people actually posted this week, I noticed, about the Lord's coming. And that's good. Keep doing that. Keep communicating to the world the Word of God. It was mentioned in prayer meeting last night as well. And I noticed after it was said, there was all the hearts were stirred. After someone mentioned about the Lord's coming, the hearts were stirred. You heard amen, amen, amen. You know, it's like, cool, all right, everybody's hopeful for that. So Simeon's bucket list to see Jesus. His what? His bucket list. God has bucket lists? Apparently so. We see it in the Word here. You say, before he dies, I'm going to see Jesus. That's a bucket list. That's when you kick the bucket, the things you want to accomplish in your life. That's a more of a modern phrase, though. So for Simeon and his bucket list, it would be to see the Savior, to see his Savior, the baby Jesus. Someone might say, but Jesus didn't pay for his sins yet. How could he be a Savior? For God, time is irrelevant. He is not subject to time like us, but time is subject to God. How sad would it be if it was just those that were at the cross on that one day when Jesus died, only those people got saved? Well, that's ridiculous. Of course not. Those looking forward to the cross, that event that took place, receive the same power, receive the same forgiveness that those looking back at the cross in time, all at that focal point. So we benefit from the Savior in the same way. Revelations 13:8 talks about that. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It goes on. That's just a little excerpt of something there. But it talks about the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. So even before time, that event had already taken place in the eyes of God. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. What's unique for us at this time as we look back at the cross is that the Holy Spirit has been given to the church and the church has been born. Something unique has happened in the framework of time. Patty prophesied about it last night reading the Word of God. She read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the church being given gifts of apostleship, prophecy, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, and governments, diversity of tongues. That all comes from the giving of the Holy Spirit. This is something that we benefit from in our walk with Jesus. God indwelling us all the time. We're his body. The Holy Spirit is the bodybuilding agent. The blood of Christ made it possible. His death and resurrection released unto us a fantastic opportunity of blessings and power in truth, in love. We should pray believing this. We should also pray believing that with God all things are possible. Our speech should be seasoned with that reality. Our walk should be in that light. Amen. Let's continue in verse 28 through 32. Then took he him up in his arms, Simeon grabbing up the baby Jesus. Man, what if that was you? Come on. Man. Taking up the baby Jesus, you're holding deity there. It's amazing. He took him up his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Let me kick the bucket according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which has been prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. For the whole world. And when it says Gentiles and Israel, you're talking about the Jews, Gentiles, it's covering the whole world. He took them up in his arms. We need to just dwell on that a little bit, get lost in that idea, that thought, God's gift to humanity, and you're the one that is able to hold on to that little guy for a little while. Can you imagine the purpose in your life so clear that you were content to die after reaching that goal? I ask that question again. Can you imagine the purpose in your life being so clear that you were content to die after reaching the goal? Talk about knowing the purpose in your life. This is a purpose-driven life right here. He knew his purpose was to see Jesus, to hold Jesus, to declare Jesus, and now he can die. Paul the Apostle had a similar encounter, similar type of thing, seeing not only the Lord, but all of heaven, or quite a bit of heaven. He too said, oh, I can die now. Philippians 1:23, he says, in between this strait, between a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, he was content to die with his current situation, with what he had experienced, with what his life had been about. But he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Now you got a job still here yet to do. Sometimes when I eat a chocolate dessert, I got to get you worked up now, I feel I have peaked. And it's so good, I can just die now. You know what I'm talking about? Especially when it's Wolfgang Puck's chocolate cake. Carrie, you made that one of the dish to passes. But I'm pretty sure my purpose in life is not to eat chocolate cake. But it is rather to taste and see that the Lord is good. That comes from Psalm 34:8. To know God by tasting, huh? What are you talking about? I'm talking about engaging your fullness of senses onto God. He's inviting you to do so. I'm not. He is. Some will just make contact through eyes, reading the Bible. Okay, that's what it's about. Kind of a little distant. Make contact with God through just the eyes, reading the Bible, or the ears, hear words preached. But the smell, the fragrance of fellowship, nothing to do with. People in love with God, praying, encouraging each other. There's a smell about that. The Bible talks about it being a fragrance of Christ. We're encouraged. God is encouraging us to be part of that. To engage God with all of our senses. To taste His presence. How? By knowing His will. Jesus said this, my food, my meat and potatoes is to do the will of God. That food, that taste, is to do His will. It's like there's satisfaction in it. It's the meat and potatoes of life. It's like God has told me to call this person, encourage this person. After you do it, it's like, man, there's something that's filling in that. It tasted good. And well, it certainly does. You're tasting God. You're tasting the presence of God working through you. Engage God with all of your senses. He's inviting you to do so. What is God's will? One more food story. I was telling Maddie that this week when I was about 10 or 11, I used to go skiing. My dad would take me up to Greek Peak. We were skiers in here, but we were just fanatic about skiing. He would take off work sometimes, and then I would play hooky, and we would just go, especially if it was sunny out. And before they got commercialized, there was this family-owned thing that, Greek Peak was run more by kind of family, and the local women would be working there. They were farm ladies, and they know how to feed people. Let me tell you what, farm ladies know how to feed people. They made a roast beef that was so high, I couldn't see above my plate hardly. And it was just amazing, the taste of that. It was beef like I've never had before. Everything's changed up there now. But it's an awesome memory about tasting and appreciating good food. Doing God's will is good food for the soul. It's really the meat and potatoes of life. So what is God's will? You guys are starving now. Open your eyes and look at it. It says in here, give thanks, for that is the will of God in Christ Jesus. To give thanks for what? For all things, to give thanks. Now stick your fork in that and go ahead and eat it. Who sits in front of a plate and just looks at it? Stick your fork in it and eat it, digest it, do it. Assimilate it into your life. That's tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. He's inviting us to do so. He made all your senses. We'll use them all. Make your food to do His will. No chocolate or roast beef can compare, believe it or not. Amen. Jesus is real. Heaven is real. This world is really tough. I don't know why I wrote that in there. Amen. Praise God. Let's continue a little bit forward here into verses 33 through 35. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. So Simeon is prophesying over Jesus. We just read those verses. He's going to be a light unto the Gentiles, the glory of his people. You imagine Simeon glowing, man. This is it. This is it. This is the height of height, the night of nights. This is it. He's fulfilling the things of his life. He's got to be so filled. He probably doesn't even feel his feet. He's just floating. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of. I could imagine. Could you imagine just being there watching Simeon having this thing going on? And Mary and Joseph are like, I mean, they just went through a lot as it was. They knew what was going on. And there's something going on here that is amazing. So they marveled at those things which were spoken of them. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary and his mother, continue to talk to them and prophesy over them and the child. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, as he's looking at Mary. And the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Okay, talking about purpose there. So prophetic words not only of Jesus, but for Mary as well here. Deep things being spoken. Deep things. Mysteries long covered. Now the veil kind of starting to be removed from the mysteries of the grace of God being revealed here in Jesus Christ. Very serious things being spoken of. So from a delightful kind of like exaltation of this experience, now Simeon's going to speak some serious deep things. To, you can imagine looking at the parents now and just and holding the baby Jesus and talking. Man, that's good stuff. Wow. Jesus, of course, would be pierced at, just as he prophesied here. And his blood would flow for you and me. So important to our salvation. Essential. At the same time, don't lose sight of the practical here. She would also experience this piercing, but not physically with a sword. One that only a mom could relate to. A mom watching her son go through such things would be such a pain that only a mother could relate to. And it's something we should right now just relate to that. The mother pain of watching the son suffer, wanting to be that mama bear and defend her son, yet having to suppress all of that. Note, many hearts be revealed. The purpose of reaching man's heart, that's the gospel's inner work. What's the gospel all about? Well, it's about you going to church and looking good and wearing a tie. No, it isn't. Who told you that? The gospel is an inner work reaching your heart to circumcise your heart, to plant the word of God into you, to bear fruit and be loving like you could never love before, brother. God wants your heart. He doesn't want superficial junk. He wants your heart. He wants the deepest part of you. Simeon revealing deep, purposeful things here. Amen. Wrapping up here. It's a short one. Another one's going to enter the scene. We'll just introduce her quickly. We'll see how far we get with it. 36 through 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, she certainly was, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. So she was married for 7 years, and then widowed, it says. And she was a widowed, in verse 37, of 84 years. That's 84 years. Married 7, widowed 84. And she departed not from the temple, it says in verse 37, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. That's one you just go, 84 years widowed, night and day, in the temple of God, married for 7 years. Note the dedicated life here. Clearly, God being her husband, she was always at the temple, always at church. This is good, yet we know as physical creatures, there must have been a physical loneliness that she had, an empty spot where a husband had once stood. Praying 84 years and fasting and fasting and fasting. Praying night and day. We were talking about praying specifically in our prayer meeting last night about praying specifically, actually praying out those specific details of those things before God, not just generic prayers. Giving God the details. You are His child. Just talk to Him. Allow His love for you to encourage you to pour out your heart to Him. Then allow His presence to quiet your heart and find satisfaction in Him. But back to this topic of praying specifically and praying in general too. I recall a story I heard of somebody. This was a lady who was 31 years old and she had been waiting and praying for a husband. And this is how she did it. She got a pair of pants that were men's pants and set them right on the side of her bed there. And she knelt down by the bed and she said, "Lord, fill those pants." This is the prayer actually she prayed as we close here. "Father in heaven, hear my prayer and grant it if you can. I've hung a pair of trousers here. Please fill them with a man." And they did get filled. She did get married. So that's a cute story. Regarding Anna, we're going to talk more about her life. She's a precious woman of the Scripture. And we're going to open up our teaching next week with that. Let's close now in the Spirit. Lord God, we thank you for this time that we've had in your Word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, how you delight in us to approach you, how you delight in us to approach you in faith and to believe on you as a child, Lord God, to meet you there at the cross, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anyone in here that's not sure of their salvation, not sure where you're going to go when you die, pray with me right now. There isn't a tomorrow for this type of thing. There's a now. Now is the day of your salvation. Father God, I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong in my life. I need forgiveness. I need to be washed and cleansed. I believe what you did on the cross was for me. I receive all of it. Everything I did, even that thing. Even the deepest things I've done that hurt people, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe is forgiven now and washed and clean and done and buried. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. I know I can't go forward empty and just clean. I need to be filled with your power. Fill me with your fire, God. Pour down on us right now, Lord, I pray, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit of fire. Fill that one that is reaching out to you now, Lord God. Make them a new child, a new creation in you. Thank you, Lord, for your gospel, which is true, which has touched our lives, has impacted us so deeply. You are rich, Lord God. You are rich in mercy and grace. Go with us today as we go out to the fellowship and rub elbows, Lord God. May we be salt and light, representing you well. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen.